talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the show where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, and all I care about is what is in their fridge. Guys, it's a special one. They're all special, but this one is really special. My guest tonight is none other than my partner in 23andMe crime, my my brother David Adut. David Adut has done the Tonight Show multiple times. He had his own show on NBC's CISO called Dave and Ethan Lovemakers. He's performed at over 300 universities, and he has done a dozen of national commercials. Dozens of national commercials.
Yeah, more than.
He's done more than a dozen.
Yeah.
Twelves of commercials. And he was a writer on HBO's Night of Too Many Stars under Robert Smigel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, my brother Dave.
Hey.
Now, we have very similar voices, so this is going to be a little confusing for you guys.
It's the same exact voice, actually.
Just imagine if I was very, like, if I had a couple concussions and
Or
was stoned.
I did 10 lines of coke before getting on here, and that'll be Dan, and I'm the one who sounds stoned.
Yeah, he's the stoned concussed version.
And he's the coked up.
David, I'm very excited to have you here. I've been wanting to have you on the show for two seasons now.
Right.
And luckily, we've been blessed with enough guests where we didn't have to make that happen. But
right.
Today...
Today you had a cancellation.
Today we had a cancellation.
A last minute cancellation.
And what did I say? I called you and I said, hey, Dave.
Are you ready for your big break?
No, I said, opportunity.
Opportunity.
Is when
you least expect it.
Or is it luck? Luck is when opportunity and preparation come together.
Collide. And here we are at the collision.
Lauren Lapkus, thank you for giving David his biggest break ever.
Oh, man.
On Green Eggs and Dan. I'm very excited to have you here because you and I have a very sordid past when it comes to food.
Yeah, totally.
We used to butt heads a lot when it came to food. You make fun of me a lot when it comes to food.
Still, yeah.
You still make fun of me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now I have the number one food podcast in the country.
Well, it was short-lived. Now it's probably number 7
okay,
or
we don't
10
need
or 12.
To talk about
it. I don't even know if it's in the top 20 anymore.
Okay,
it was number one for a day or so.
It was good. Bon Appetit was on hiatus for a little bit. But before we get into our sordid food past, I am going to go through your fridge now. You can follow Dave Adut, quote-unquote's, fridge on my Instagram, at StandUpDan. And the reason I put his fridge in quotes is because I am currently living in New York, and Dave is currently living in L.A.
Yeah.
And we're staying in each other's homes.
It's an old-fashioned swap.
It's an old-fashioned meet-cute.
Oh, geez.
So this is actually my fridge with... I'd say a quarter are my ingredients and three quarters are yours.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through it.
I'd say more half and half.
It's a half and half
sitch. Yeah.
Now, number one, what you'll notice in David Adut's fridge that you wouldn't notice in mine is that it's very high in entropy. Things are just strewn about everywhere.
Okay.
No order.
Uh-huh.
You have your row of LaCroix down there. Which I love.
Which were pretty well organized. I think they're well organized. They're organized by flavor.
You know, when I organize my LaCroix, I point all the labels in the same direction.
I hate everything about you.
And you have something else next to LaCroix that you actually introduced me to yesterday for the first time.
I didn't introduce you to.
Shark Tank
Mark,
did.
Mark, Lori, Robert,
Mr. Wonderful,
and Barbara did.
Yeah, they introduced us all to Genius Coconut Genius?
Genius Coconut.
Juice.
It's not water, it's a smoothie. And what they do is they take a full coconut, they take all the juice and the meat of the coconut and blend it all together. So it's kind of like a
dense coconut smoothie.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Not that they need any more advertising. They've already got the Shark Tank bump.
Dun, 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 dun.
But it is so delicious. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to just skip over all of my... Let's see. My stuff... On the top, I have a bunch of pickles fermenting.
Yeah, which I've been eating. Thank you.
Have you? It's good. It's good for gut health.
It is.
You have eggs on eggs on eggs
right.
on the third row there.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
The only dish I can make.
Eggs?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing I can make.
How do you cook your eggs, Dave?
I do a soft scramble.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or a fold-over omelet.
Ah, the old fold-over.
Yeah.
How are most omelets made if not folded over?
Opened.
Open face omelet.
Have you ever had an open face omelet?
Probably at a diner or something.
I think it's a thing.
Yeah.
I'd made that up, but it's actually a thing.
So. And I was trying to make fun of you, but then I thought it's actually a thing, so I stopped.
Yeah.
What is this here? Is this a Diet Hansen's?
That's a Diet Hansen's. That's my girlfriend's.
Your girlfriend's drinking it. I think that my girlfriend drinks Diet Hansen's too.
Well, look at us.
Shout out to the ladies.
Shout out to the ladies who put up with
the
this.
The ladies who couldn't do any better than the Adoop brothers.
Oh.
I see you.
I see you.
And then you've got the almond milk, which is a thing that I'd like to talk to you about.
Sure.
You used to be a fat guy.
Yeah.
And then you made some changes.
I did.
And now you're not a fat guy anymore.
I'm not a fat guy.
And it was one of those things where I used to make fun of you a lot.
Yeah.
I would relentlessly make fun of you. I'd say you were gross.
Uh-huh.
I'd say you're fat and gross.
Yeah.
And gross and fat.
And gross and fat.
And then I saw you once and you looked really skinny, which makes, first of all, you're welcome for all the fat shaming.
You literally shamed me so much. And then it didn't motivate me to lose weight, but once I lost weight, I had it in my head so that when you, who look disgusting compared to me now,
yeah,
like you just have a gross blobby body right now.
I do.
I'm blobby. I had it all stored for moments like this.
My body's
way better than yours.
It is. And you said that a lot of the reason was you made these little changes. You told me you stopped drinking dairy. You subbed in the almond milk.
I drink coffee 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And coffee used to be sugar and milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got rid of sugar, so it was just milk.
Right.
And now it's just black. Now it's just black coffee.
Oh, you didn't even put the almond milk?
No.
And then you just stopped eating. You stopped grazing a lot. You used to be a grazer.
I used to be a grazer. I stopped. I tried to cut out carbs as much as I could.
Yeah. It's very impressive. You look
and
very
soda.
Sexy.
I used to drink soda and like Snapple.
It's very amazing to me that you and I grew up in the same household.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we had a very strict household when it came to food.
Totally.
We had our mom who would always cook a meal from scratch for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all sit around and have dinner together. And she's an amazing cook. My dad, who spent a lot of his formative years in Europe and was on the organic train way before it was even a thing in America.
Totally.
So we were having, you know, while our friends were having Fruit Loops and Cocoa Puffs for breakfast,
yeah,
we had muesli.
Yeah. The thing is, organic, in the 80s, there weren't many organic options. Like now you can get, there's supermarkets that are only organic.
Right.
And there used to be fucking a quarter of an aisle was the organic section.
And he would bring, he would go on these business trips in Switzerland and bring stuff back.
Yeah.
Like cereals.
He would bring the worst tasting cereals.
Awful cereals.
And I went to a friend's house once and had Fruity Pebbles. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
So then I couldn't drive. I think I was like 10. I left home and I didn't run away. I left and walked to the nearest place that sold Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
And what I did was I bought the Fruity Pebbles, took them out of the box and put them in the organic box.
Right.
And then dad found out once. And I kept doing that. I would walk to the Rite Aid, which was like a mile away. I would walk with a mission with like quarters and bought Fruity Pebbles and put them into the fucking Kashi box.
Oh my God. And would he hit you? This is back when
Hitting was okay.
Hitting was okay. We grew up. Our dad beat the shit out of us. We still love him.
Yeah,
we have a complex relationship.
He hit me when he found that. 100%. He hit me.
Oh my God! Do you remember that time when we? I don't know if you remember this, but Dad, like, would hit the bottom of our foot. Like that was his thing. He would like get like a little like a hanger or a stick and hit the bottom of our foot. Like was our punishment.
I didn't get a lot of the foot hangers.
But he once, I remember I was like, I put a deck of cards in my sock. So that my soul deck of cards there. And then I started like pissing dad off and he's like, I'm going to hit you in the foot. I'm like, okay. And then he fucking hit me in the foot, but he was hitting the deck of cards and I started laughing. And then he took the deck of cards out and hit me in the foot.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great guy though.
Good guy. But speaking of dad though, I think that a lot of my love for food and becoming a foodie and all that came from him.
Right.
He always went to nice restaurants and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious why it seemed like, cause you didn't have that for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You'd always have like a Cheetos in the car. You'd have the bags of, you know, stuff like that. I'm trying to think of places where, you know, I was just like, dude, why are you doing that? And you were like, shut up, man.
Shut up, let me live my life.
It seemed like I maybe leaned into dad stuff and maybe you rebelled against it a little.
Yeah, I think it started with the Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, the muesli, the kashi.
The kashi is what got me.
Yeah.
And I think then I was just kind of like doing all this unhealthy stuff on the side. Like I was doing it secretively.
Yeah.
And I liked the thrill. It was more of a thrill for me than the organic stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. I was some thrilling.
So what happened to you that you turned? Because now you're pretty high level food nerd. You seek out great restaurants. You never picked up on cooking. That never really became a thing for you.
I don't know if you heard the egg thing I said about 4 to 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, the folded omelet.
Closed omelets. Not open.
You make a closed omelet.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it really just started with being healthier. You know, I think that was really my main motivation.
What are we talking? How long ago?
Probably 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say 10 years ago is when I started like focusing more on healthy stuff and not shit.
What was some shit that you were eating that you decided to cut out? Like
mozzarella sticks.
Oh yeah,
love a crispy mozzarella stick.
You'd call it mutz.
Yeah, go get some mutz.
It angers me so much when you say that. It angers me so much,
and I love that, and that's why I like saying mutz.
So you do the mutz. You would do a lot of that.
Parmigiano. Yeah. So I did. What else is it? Fries, chicken fingers.
You were like a kids menu guy up until you were 30.
I was a kids menu guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was...
you would do the artichoke pizza late night. I remember that.
Oh, my
that
God.
Was a move.
Well, I lived across the street from Artichoke Pizza.
In New York, yeah.
Right when it came out. So it was like the biggest thing.
More with my brother right after this. Back to Dave. Do you have a meal that you remember? So it was less about like the thrill, the high of getting an amazing meal, and more about like I need to change my lifestyle choices because this is unhealthy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was just more quality food. That's kind of how it started.
Was there a meal though that you remember that you were like, oh shit, this is really good. I need to start. I like nice food. I like good food. It actually tastes better.
You mean like growing up?
No, like was there something in your 20s or 30s that like a meal that maybe, yes, you didn't initially get into being into food because of the Epicurean aspects. You got into it for the health aspects. But was there something that you were like, oh, fuck?
I think
because you are more of an Epicurean now, I think. You don't just do it for health.
Right. No, that's true. I think, you know, like you said, dad and they would take us to a ton of restaurants. And they'd also take us all over the world. So we got to try all different types of cuisine.
David, we try to remain like a blue-collar food podcast.
Yeah, all over the world of Staten Island.
man, we saw all of Staten Island. North Staten Island, South Staten Island.
Remember Spring Break Yonkers?
Oh man, that was
sick. So,
we were very fortunate. Our parents traveled a lot, and they took us with them.
And we were first class. And
we weren't.
We had 4 hotel rooms, even though we only needed 2.
Not true. I am one of you, listener.
That's not true. We didn't fly first class. So I think we were exposed to all different foods. But I think there was What I mean, I'm trying to think of like a. There was a gnocchi dish in Venice, where Whoa. We found this like random restaurant. I don't know if you recall it. We found it. It wasn't like this was like before Yelp and all that shit.
Uh-huh.
We just kind of found it walking by, and we had a gnocchi. And I think we went back there like four times.
Was it the one where they would put the wine on your table and you could just take as much as you wanted? Something like that?
I wasn't drinking then, so I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I think I know what you're talking about. So gnocchi was what did it for
gnocchi,
you.
Gnocchi, that meal always stands out in my mind.
Gnocchi
yeah.
is a weird flavor if you have never had it before.
Totally.
Because it's not like something that you just go and pick up and buy. And also there's such a huge difference between store gnocchi and handmade. Whereas with pasta, there's a difference, but it's not as huge, I think. I think maybe like the potato doesn't freeze as well.
I've never made gnocchi once in my life, so I don't know.
But that was a fresh gnocchi that you had.
It was a fresh gnocchi, yeah. And that was probably, I think I was like probably, how old were we that trip? Do you remember?
I don't know. We were young.
I think I was probably 14 or 15.
Yeah. But I do, so gnocchi, a very soft food.
Yeah.
Interesting that you bring that up,
no.
You fell in love with soft foods. Because my brother David Dute has a phobia. It's something that might, I always thought these things are just like made up sicknesses.
No.
But I think they might be real. David has a thing where if he hears crunching around him, crunching food, he fucking... loses his mind, like flips the table, has to leave the room.
Yeah,
literally, we had lunch in two different rooms today, actually, at the house, because I was having like a crispy, like it was like a pickled red cabbage.
Yeah, the crispiest. And you're just eating it like fucking
with reckless. I was eating it like a normal human being eats foods. Yes, I was eating it. And David had to get up and go to the other room.
Just chomping on cabbage.
What was the story? You were on a date or something?
Oh, yeah. I was on a second date with a girl, and our first date was fantastic. So the worst thing for me is ice chewing. That's like the worst. It's like the nails on a chalkboard times 100.
Yeah.
Where I can just feel like my blood boiling, and it's
a visceral reaction.
I'm just even talking about it right now. I'm feeling it.
David is squirming in his chair.
I'm squirming because of ice chewing. Anyway, I told this girl about my thing with ice chewing on a second date, and then she cutely took the ice from her water and walked over to me and started chewing it in my ear.
Wow.
And I was like, no, I'm serious. This is like something I don't really like. I'd appreciate if you didn't do that. And then she again did it again, and that was the moment I knew I was never going to see this person again in my life.
Wow.
And I never did. Oh, and she invited me over, and I said, nope, I'm going home.
Yeah, sorry, Amal Clooney.
Yeah.
Didn't work out with David.
That was the one.
That is so funny to me because
it has a name, by the way.
It was a meet cute that turned into a I'm never going to see you again cute.
Totally was so excited about the date
at
the beginning. And that was it.
Can we call her on the phone right now?
No, I'd prefer not. Actually, I saw her recently.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't tell you this. I saw her at a Le Labo store.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. I was doing some holiday shopping, and she was there, and we made eye contact, and then I pretended like I needed to read all the ingredients of Le Labo. I started picking them up.
Oh my God.
Started reading about patchouli and shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was, it's a real thing.
I've
told strangers at restaurants to please stop chewing ice next to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funniest is, I think, when you were telling me when you got Night of Too Many Stars in the writer's room.
Oh my God.
You were like, you know, it was your first staff writing job.
Yeah,
you were nervous.
Lowest on the totem pole.
And then one of the higher level writers started chewing ice.
No. So the way Robert Smigel would come in and just be like, all right, guys, write something for Ben Stiller. And then we'd all have to like brainstorm, and we'd all just open a Google Doc and write down ideas. And it was just dead silent in the room. Then one of the senior writers took pretzel rods and just started chomping on them. And it was the loudest thing I could. It was just so loud, and no one was doing headphones really. So I just had to. It was kind of like my, what's that therapy when they just like
immersive therapy?
Immersive therapy. Yeah, it was my immersive therapy. and I'm still fucked up, but I was good for a little during that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't come up with any good ideas. It just ruined my whole flow.
It's very funny because you're not a type A person in my, like, you're like a very, you're the most like, you're a very go with the flow guy.
Yeah, I'm type Q.
You're like a type gamma. You're like a gamma male.
What does that mean?
And the fact that that thing creates such a visceral reaction, it's probably one of my favorite things about you.
It is. And you don't abuse it. Although you do like telling, if you tell little kids, then they don't care. They think it's hilarious and they keep doing it.
You also have a weird, now you've just turned into like, it's not even a phobia. You have a hate of your mother chewing.
For some reason, it's...
Your mother chewing food.
Yeah.
It could be, it doesn't have to be crunchy. there's
poor mom.
There's something. Our mom, lovely lady.
Lovely.
Anytime she tries to give herself sustenance, David goes into a frenzy.
Oh my God. I don't know why, but it's really heightened with mom. Like, dad will come home with baguettes and I'll be like, oh shit. I gotta put up with this. And he's like toasting it and I run in and like lower the darkness because I don't want to. Oh God. Man. Yeah, I don't know why that is with mom, but no, I got in a fight with a friend recently and didn't talk to him the whole night.
Yeah.
If I tell someone about it and then they do it to fuck with me, then that like then
that I'm, that you really hate.
Yeah,
that.
That'll really rile me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Misophonia. Since you've moved, misophonia, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Since you've moved to LA, have you discovered any types of food that are different than New York or better than New York that you can't get in New York?
I think sushi in LA is definitely better.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
Also Mexican.
Yeah.
And I heard Taco Window is gone.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Taco Window was a great restaurant in West Adams and it was like this hipster French guys who were making tacos.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was fantastic.
So yeah, I think New York's ramen game is, I think there's disputes about that, but I think New York's ramen game might be, but I also don't eat tonkotsu.
No, you don't eat tonkotsu. David's a good Jew. That's another food thing that separates us. You're a better Jew than I am.
I'm a better Jew, and I've kind of been shedding my layers.
Yeah.
And the only holdout thing
Come
is
on.
Pork.
Yeah, we both grew up kosher. And I rebelled quickly after college.
Yeah.
And started eating pork and everything and love it all. David does eat shellfish now.
Yeah.
Mom, if you're listening.
No, she doesn't know how to have a podcast.
He lies to my parents.
I do. I lie to my parents about shellfish. I'm scared.
He can't come out of the closet with the non-kosher. But I say that jokingly, but when I told my mom that I was kosher, she like had like a fucking breakdown. So
that you weren't kosher, you mean?
That I wasn't kosher. She
yeah.
had a breakdown. So I get it. But
actually, it's funny. The reason, do you know the reason why I started eating shellfish?
No.
It wasn't because I was like curious about shellfish, but I was dating a girl who wasn't Jewish and still not, I'm assuming. and I was like, you know, I told her that I wanted, like, you know, she just thought that we can take things to the next level because she wasn't Jewish. And I was like, no, I want to show you that I'm, like, cool with it.
Oh.
So we went out to John Dory.
Yeah.
In the Ace Hotel.
Yes.
In New York.
April Bloomfield's restaurant.
April Bloomfield's. I think it's gone.
I think it's gone. The whole empire is crumbling.
And in one sitting, for the first time ever, had every type of shellfish. So oysters for the first time, all in one meal.
Oh.
It was oysters, lobster, crab, octopus, scallops.
That is not a good
mussels,
way to introduce yourself.
Clams, literally every single type. And I was just like, all of it. I want all of it. And I did it all in one sitting. And some of it was great. And some of it I hated. And I still hate.
I had a clam. My first thing was a giant clam at a gross Chinese restaurant. In Chinatown.
Yeah.
And raw. And it was fucking... I still am not a huge fan of clams. That is great. That is... First of all, you need to be more confident in yourself.
No.
Love yourself a little more.
I'm going to find the girl who makes me eat pork.
Well, this is what angers me, is because you kept saying to me, you know what? I'm going to eat pork, but the only way I'll do it is if I go to Spain.
I'm in Barcelona.
In Barcelona, and I can have Iberico pork.
Iberico pork.
Which, for those of you who don't know, Iberico pork is the most magical kind of pork. They're these pigs, these black pigs in Spain that eat on a mountainside, and they just have acorns and listen to flamenco. And their meat is the most delicious pork you can buy, hands down. Even an Italian will tell you. Even a French person will tell you. No one's pork comes close. So David was in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Barcelona. He saw the leg.
Yeah.
He remembered his vow to me.
Right.
Apparently not as strong as his vow to the girl that he went on two dates with.
That's very true.
And
then I saw Moses.
You saw Moses in the leg of ham.
In the leg of ham.
Yeah.
And
did.
He said, please don't do this to yourself.
Newsflash. Moses was actually Spanish. He split the Red Sea, then split the Mediterranean.
He split.
And walked over to Seville.
Yeah. No, I don't know why. I just didn't. You know, I was with Mike, who also is a pork holdout.
Yeah.
And then I was like, if he does it, I'll do it. Mike, you got to do it. And then I kind of had like my cop out that Mike wasn't doing it, so I didn't do it.
Oh, man. So what I'm getting is that your principles only lie in who's sitting across from you.
That's exactly what it is. That's 100%.
Well, why don't my principles count?
I will make a guarantee on the air that if you and I are in Barcelona or Ibiza.
Andrew, buy plane tickets right now. Buying plane tickets.
Then I will have it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but then you're going to be all weird and guilt.
If I'm with you.
You're going to be like in a fetal position in the corner of the hotel room feeling guilty.
And we'll do a follow-up episode of my resentment.
I don't need that. Back to David in a minute. But first, a little more about my favorite guilty pleasure, Iberico pork. Sure, it might not be great for the spiritual health of the Jews, but could it be good for our physical health? Because of the fact that these pigs are fed a diet of wild acorns and walnuts, their fat develops an obscene amount of oleic acid, a monounsaturated fatty acid much like that of olive oil. In fact, the fat on these pigs is closer to olive oil in health benefits than any animal fat. So yes, you might go to hell for eating them, but at least you'll be in great shape down there. Okay, back to David. Are you ready for your rapid fire questions?
Yeah.
Okay. These are fun. I'm very curious what your answers are to these because I don't know the answers to them. What is your earliest food memory?
My earliest food memory is, I think, chocolate mousse.
Chocolate mousse. That's a good one.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Explain it to the listeners.
Our dad would go to Switzerland.
All of our stories make us sound like these fucking heirs of a fucking
father
castle.
Father would go to Switzerland.
Yeah.
And he would buy us chocolate milk powder. What, do you remember the brand?
No, but I remember that it was like a brown thing.
And expensive.
Yeah. we're commoners. We're just like
it
you.
It was very expensive. Okay. And our mom would take she would basically take chocolate powder, chocolate milk powder, and then a shit ton of sugar, butter, and then a raw egg.
Yes.
And mix it all together.
I think it was the raw egg yolk. It wasn't the yolk and the white.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
And
mix them. This was apparently before salmonella worries.
Salmonella was a thing.
Just a fucking raw egg.
Yeah.
Like Rocky style.
Just fucking raw egg, and it was delicious. It was sweet.
Wait, did you mention the butter?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a dab of butter in there.
More than a dab.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
Mom had all these little hobo foods that she made. Like hobo chocolate mousse. She also made like eggs, toad in a hole. Toad in a hole.
Oh, toad in a hole was awesome.
Which is like, you know, the piece of bread with the hole in the middle.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's like a hobo hunter food.
Yeah.
And then she would make us the eggs with Frankfurters where she would chop up a hot dog and just like.
And just throw it.
Throw it in some eggs and be like, hey. I'm telling you, our mom is a fucking closet hobo.
I still get down with that.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's really good.
What is your death row meal? You're on death row. You Someone was chewing way too loud next to you. You couldn't take it. You put an ice pick in their chest.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
And now you're on death row.
And now I'm on death row. I would probably I'd probably do a big steak. You know, I think the Cajun ribeye at Brian and Cooper is slowly becoming my favorite steak.
I agree with you. And it's funny because I made fun of that steak the first time I heard of it.
Because you called it fratty?
It was fratty. David, dude, we have to talk about fratty because this was a term that I think I made to make fun of you.
Yeah.
That David likes to take things and frat them up. Like, it's like how a fraternity, how you imagine a fraternity.
100%.
You know, like put ranch on everything.
Yep.
You know, take my sushi and put it in the eel sauce and the crunchies. Yeah. Fratten it up.
Deep fry it.
So when I heard Brian and Cooper Steakhouse, which is probably my favorite steakhouse in New York now. It's in Long Island. They have something called a Cajun ribeye, which is like a blackened ribeye. I was like, no. This is against everything that is pure in the steakhouse world. You want minimal sauce. You want minimal fucking with. You just want a good piece of meat. No.
You want that meat to fucking pledge.
You want that meat to pledge to fucking the Cajun fraternity.
Cajun Alpha.
Kappa Kappa Alpha.
Beta.
And it is divine.
Oh, so good.
It is very good.
So I would say probably that steak with a bunch of those, you know. Yeah, I love the steaky sides, but I can only do that meal once in a while, you know.
Hey, this is your last one.
It's my last one. But yeah, like a crispy, you know, well-done potato.
Yeah.
More like keep frying that shit.
Yeah, frat it up.
The spinach.
Yeah.
A little mac and cheese.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd die of heart disease before they fry me.
What is the best high-end meal that you've ever had?
The best high-end meal, Gramercy Tavern in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had like a meal there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the back room.
I don't think.
Do you know there's two rooms?
Yeah, there's like a bar room.
Yeah, there's a bar room and then there's a back room.
You were in the back room or the bar room?
The back room.
Okay.
It was, I used to do real estate and I helped two buddies find an apartment. And instead of paying me my $6,000 fee, they took me out to dinner.
To a $200 dinner. Nice.
We did the wine pairing. And Max, one of the guys, used to be a host there.
Uh-huh.
So it was like the tasting menu on steroids.
Oh,
they just kept,
like,
it might have been double the tasting menu.
Oh, wow.
And they just brought all this special stuff out. I think there was like a poached lobster. There was a duck confit. There was so much wine, and this is the only meal that I've ever had where I ate and drank so much that I literally fell asleep before.
At the table?
At the table.
Oh, my God,
David. A very fancy restaurant.
Oh, my God.
It was a happy sleep, and they kept waking me up for the new dish.
Wow.
They had to wake me up for, like, the last three, dude. It was just so much food and so much drink. And I kept just falling asleep. I just ate myself to sleep.
Oh, my God.
But I remember it being the best meal. And I think I went to Stone Barns, like, the same month.
Really?
And everyone was saying Stone Barns was the best meal in New York. And I was like, nope, Gramercy Tavern's got them beat.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to get to something fratty that we can edit in, Andrew, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of frattiness.
Yeah.
What are your top... You make these frat inventions.
Yeah.
You fratify foods.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the frat foods? I'm forgetting right now for some reason. But you have like some things, some orders that you do, it's the way you order them.
Well, that's actually one of my drunk foods.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wait, the sandwich.
Yeah.
I called you drunkenly from New York once.
To ask me what
from a fucking bodega.
Frat-tastic sandwich.
You have the best frat-tastic bodega drunk sandwich.
So it's a chicken cutlet.
Yeah.
With lettuce, tomato. Fresh mutz.
Fresh mutz.
Melted on. It's got to be melted on.
Yeah.
Russian dressing and jalapenos.
Oof.
And it's so funny because every time I order it, and it's bodega. This is bodega.
It has to be bodega.
Yeah, it's got to be bodega. It's got to be fucking $4.
Yeah.
And every time I order, I always say, let me get some jalapenos. And the guy's like, oh, you're Spanish? And I'm like, no, I just know how to pronounce jalapenos. So I never pronounce it incorrectly. anymore. But that's my frat-tastic sandwich, which is still my go-to drunk food. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I call you drunkenly to get the...
Oh.
Yeah.
What else do I frat? I sriracha every slice of pizza.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sriracha
everything. You sriracha everything.
I put sriracha
on everything.
My
mom will make Persian cuisine, Persian foods, like very authentic Persian foods that she slaves over,
yeah,
and that have nice subtle flavors, uh-huh, and David will just fucking bathe it in sriracha.
I sriracha everything. Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of what weird things are that you've sriracha'd, but you do. You put it in tacos, you'll sriracha. You'll just sriracha everything.
Ice cream sometimes if you want the sweet savory.
Come on.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You've sriracha'd ice cream?
I have.
You're fucking
I was definitely
dead
not
to me.
Sober.
You're dead to me.
No.
How are we the same?
Dude, I bet you David Chang's coming out with fucking sriracha ice cream soon.
That's probably true, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the best low-end meal that you've ever had?
The best low-end meal I've ever had is probably, I think, like, I want to say Mamoun shawarma.
Oh, Helen Hong, actually. That was her favorite, I think, was a Mamoun's falafel.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mamoun's shawarma.
Which I've never had sober.
Again, another thing you need to have drunk, because if you have it sober, it's way too salty. It just doesn't seem to work, but when you're drunk and you crave that saltiness and the crisp
of the onions, yeah, and then like just tahini all over your sleeves.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
That's a good one. That's a good low end
one. Or there's also Jean famous noodles.
The one that
foods,
I never went to.
The ones that I kept asking you. That's your problem, dude.
Oh god.
You're like, I wanna open your eyes to food. Come with me. We're going to go to a place that was that's known for their mirepoix, which they throw in every dish creatively.
You don't even know what mirepoix is.
It's carrots. Okay. So and then I'm like, dude, you got to come to this place. You don't respect my food knowledge.
I don't respect your food knowledge.
Let's talk about that. Why don't you respect my... Anytime you say, let's go try something, I'm like, yes. And then I said, let's go. And by the way, it was like featured on Bourdain and everything. Like, it's been written up a million times.
Right, right. You know why?
And I went to the first one, and now it's like there's like 30 of them because yeah, it's fucking great. And you still haven't gone.
You kept telling me to go, and I kept thinking like, okay, David, yeah, we'll go.
Yeah.
And then it became a hit, and I was like, oh, he was right.
When did I steer you wrong?
You've never really steered me wrong. I think it's just, you know, I think it's the...
I have a shit palate.
The frattiness.
Uh-huh.
I just assume that I'm a lot better at food than you are.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right.
You're better at a lot of things than I am, but food is one of the things that I just, you know...
Right, so you don't take suggestions from anyone that you don't respect?
Yes.
At all?
Yeah.
So you don't respect me?
I don't respect you when it
Period.
Comes to... Yeah, I don't respect you. Yeah, yeah. Okay, next question.
Yeah, let's move along. I hate this.
The next question is, what's your favorite drunk food? But I'm assuming that it's that sandwich.
Fucking, you got that.
Yeah.
100%.
What about favorite hangover food?
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger?
Yeah. Always.
Oh.
Just a fratty cheeseburger.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Any specifics? Any specific ones in New York or in LA?
Yeah. In New York, I think I'm trying to think of which ones. You know, I keep moving, so it's always changes. The BK Johnny Burger in Bushwick.
Was that the one that the Pakistani place we had together? Oh, that was fantastic.
That's actually not a cheeseburger, but it's one of my favorite burgers.
It's a very good burger.
Yeah, it's got chutney and yogurt.
Yeah.
It's just spiced fantastically, and it's one of those big old patties.
It's fantastic.
You
keep making the sound, by the way, which is going to gross out our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just suck in air. What are you sucking in, air and saliva for some reason?
I was sick for 10 days and I'm still a little congested.
Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, I just realized I'll tell you how I thought about this, because I wanted to tell you that Ignacio's hangover food was a banana.
I like
to have
banana. Hot dogs.
And then I was like, David's a part investor of Estella as well. And you didn't even throw that in your intro. You are a restaurateur, my brother.
I milk it a lot less than you do.
Oh, I milk the fuck out of it.
You fucking.
I like, we'll
people
go to
think
the...
that you like you're like, I fucking brick by brick laid down the bricks for Estella. I picked out the kitchen, picked out the cutlery, the light fixtures. That's all me.
I go to the DMV. They're like, do you have your social? I was like, no, but I'm one of the owners of Estella.
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't use it as much as you. But yes, I am just as much of an owner as you are.
Do you have a...
Me and my basic ass food taste.
Do you have a favorite celebrity chef? Like, and it can be either an actual chef or like, you know,
or a
Bourdain or a Ratatouille.
I think my favorite, you're going to hate me because it's your least favorite, I think.
Who?
David Chang.
Oh, yeah. I mean, tell me why.
I'll tell you why.
Convince me.
I think, you know, I used to live on 1st Ave and 14th Street, which is right next to Sambar in New York. And he had these Brussels sprouts that he made.
Yeah.
Just a bowl of Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
And it was all fratted up.
You know, he fratted them up in fish sauce. He introduced fish sauce to the Brussels sprout, which was a game changer because no one was using fish sauce as an additive like that
in
sides.
Ugh.
I actually use fish sauce in all my Brussels sprouts that I make now.
Wait, so you shit on this guy repeatedly, and then you steal his fish sauce game and don't give him the props that he deserves.
The only reason I shit on him is because
we went to this restaurant. We went to his restaurant in downtown, and you were the least pleasant person to dine with because we were all enjoying our meal, and you're like, "Oh my god, we're just like shitting on Korea right now. Like, I don't need someone to take Korean food and like Americanize it for me." And it was like the best. We were just like, "Oh, this is so good!" And then you had to fucking give
that
a
was
speech.
That major dome. Yeah,
at Major Domo after every dish.
Well, it just seems to me that he is just whitewashing Korean food and making it just palatable enough for white people to be like, "Oh, take all my money, David Chang." And he's not like doing anything. In my opinion, he's not doing anything so creative to it to be like, "Oh, this is a new kind of cuisine." He's just taking Korean dishes and lightening them up. I don't know. There was something that seemed a little bit like he was culturally appropriating his own culture in a way.
His own culture.
Yeah. I just didn't, I don't know. And it's all so expensive. Look, I also am just, but my main reason for not being a fan is just because I think that he used to be great. And then I think he just wanted to take over the world and make a lot of money and expand like crazy.
Right.
And I just have never had anything that is so like mind boggling, but he like walks around like he's, you know, the authority on everything.
Have you had the duck at Sambar?
No, I hear it's great.
I mean, you gotta have these things. I think that's like his main.
I had his ramen and I fucking hated it.
I didn't have it because I don't eat pork. Thank you, Hashem.
You can't eat half of David Chang's foods. I thought you were going to say Mr. Taster is quickly becoming my favorite celebrity.
Mr. Taster.
My favorite.
Yeah, it's your guy, man.
I want to get Mr. Taster on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Taster is a food blogger in Iran
who
has an Instagram at Mr. Taster, I believe.
I think it's Mr. Dot Taster.
Mr. Dot Taster.
Yeah.
And he's just he's like this chubby, like bald, but like has like Sideshow Bob hair coming out of the sides with big glasses. And he's just the most lovable character going around Iran.
Mr. Taster.
I have a huge crush. And we talk to each other on Instagram and like it melts my heart whenever
he DMs you and you snapshot it and send it out with like heart emojis.
I know. It's like literally, it's what does
it. You literally just
me.
Mentioned him so you could tag him on the.
Yo, shout out to Mr. Taster. What is your desert island food? You're trapped on a desert island.
Yeah.
There's one food you're going to be able to, you can have for the rest of your life, and that's it. What is it going to be?
Could it be a restaurant?
Okay. We brick by brick bring a restaurant on the desert island.
Yes.
What is that restaurant?
I think if I had to
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Chipotle?
No.
Oh.
What's your problem?
What kind of garbage restaurant is it, David?
I think I could eat sugarfish every day.
Sugarfish.
Yeah, which I know is a very basic ass answer.
No, it's not. Sugarfish, again, for all the non-LA people, you've heard about it a bunch. I actually, when people come to LA and they say, what restaurant should I go to? I'm like, you should go to Sugar. That should be one of your places. Because it's such an interesting LA staple. It's like fast food sushi, but also not. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, as I say before, you guys have heard it before, it's the Nespresso of sushis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's solid. You know what you're getting. It's not.
Yeah, I think I could just eat it every day. I mean, I think that's something that you want on a dessert island. Yeah. It's something you can eat every day.
Did you say a dessert island?
Deserted.
Oh, I thought you said a dessert island.
And on my dessert island, I do banana flambé.
What? Is there a food that you cannot, you just can't stand it?
Yeah. Persimmons that are not ripe.
Oh, an unripe persimmon.
It's the worst fucking thing I've ever put. It just kills me thinking about it.
You're
just
right.
What it does to my mouth, it's...
You know, this is very funny that you're saying this because you and I were making fun of our mom, back to mom, a couple months ago, because our mom really gets a kick out of, you know, Farsi is a very old language, way older than English, and it's a very dense language, and they have a lot of words for things that we don't have words for in English. And my mom gets such a fucking kick out of, like, showing us off on how great Persian is and how they have this word that we don't have. Like, she gets so much pride. She's like, "You stupid idiot. You think English is a sophisticated language? Do you have a word for when you put a stamp on the wrong side of the envelope?" We do. It's bleak. Like, and she'll just go through lists of these things. She just told me a word the last time I was in New York. There's a word for when you eat a persimmon and it's not ripe.
No.
Yes.
What is it?
Gaz.
Gaz?
Yeah.
Shut up.
It means that it's gaz. It means that it's a word reserved for persimmon.
Just for, it's not like dry mouth. It's
not dry mouth. It's not unripe, like as in any fruit.
Wow.
It is a persimmon that gives you dry mouth. It's gaz.
Man.
Fucking hilarious.
Shit gives you gaz.
David, dude, do you have a restaurant pet peeve? You know your brother. You've sat with your brother at restaurants. I probably have more restaurant pet peeves. I'm probably very annoying to eat with.
Yeah, I think my pet peeve is probably going to people who think they're superior to the chef and like, oh, I can cook this better than this guy.
You mean going to eat with people?
Yeah, going to eat with them. Oh. You're my pet peeve. You're literally my pet peeve is dining with you and listening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides that, anything? Because that's the thing. You are very easygoing. We go to restaurants and David's sitting there. He's excited to be there. I'm like, nope. They're using 150-volt lights right over our table. We need to move.
Yeah. No, I mean,
like, all right.
I think I am more easygoing than you. It's something that I think you instilled in me that it kind of bothers me now is when they take your plate when other people are still eating.
Oof, hate it.
Which I didn't hate at all. I'm like, whatever. I get it. You need to wash the dishes. But then I sat, you enlightened me, and that's the only good thing I've gotten out of you in life. Huh?
On that note, David, dude, thank you so much for being a guest on Green Eggs and Dan. Is there anything that you'd like to plug?
I guess just my Twitter and Instagram, David Dude.
Twitter and Instagram, David Dude. Thank you again, and
thank you. I'm glad I could fill in.
If anyone sees my brother eating out and you take a video of you chewing ice next to him and you send it to me, I will Venmo you $20. That is a promise.
Yes. Do it. And I will fight you.
Thank you, Dave. This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Special thanks to Irios.
To see pictures of my brother's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in this episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandupDan.
If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.